I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and to do what you want with what I've prepared, to speak to our hearts through these words. I pray that anything that is not of you, that it would fall to the ground. We want to hear from you tonight, Father. We want to hear your heart, not mine. So, when I asked God what he wanted to say tonight, I have to confess I was a bit surprised. I had all sorts of good ideas that I wanted to speak about, things that I thought we ought to be talking about because I want to go deeper. When I asked him, this is what he said, and then I want to kind of unpack it a bit. So he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are battered by life, who are feeling overwhelmed, exhausted. Come to me and let me wash your feet. Let me wash away the dirt and grime of life. Let me wash away your tears, your sighs, your worry, your anxiety. Let me take your heavy load. Let me take your burdens. Lay them at my feet and rest. Let me ease your aching heart. Let me ease your worries and your fears. Come and sit with me. Lean your head on my shoulder. Let me take the weight." So in Matthew 11:28, the bit we started with, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And there were a couple of bits that jumped out from what he was saying. So I was thinking about being weary. And some of us, I feel, are weary. We are tired. We are worn out. We feel exhausted, burned out, fed up, bored. Some of us are waiting, frustrated. Some of us feel hopeless, overworked, depleted, or empty. Some of us feel sad. The cares of life for some of us, whether it's church life, whether it's family life, whether it's work life, there is hurt, there is pain, there is sadness, there is worry, stress, anxiety. There's finances that feel uncomfortable. There's health issues. There's relationships. And it's causing a heaviness of heart. We're lacking patience. We're lacking energy. We're lacking what it needs to endure. We're lacking that vigor and freshness. We are just weary. And Father tonight says, "Come to me, all you who are weary." And the other group that he mentions is, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden." Some translations it talks about being burdened, where we can't move, we're staggering under the weight of what we're carrying, we're crushed, weighed down, overburdened. And when I started thinking about this with God, I was thinking about those kind of life cares and the weariness. But actually the context of this is religious demands. It's the demands of the religious leaders at the time. In the Amplified Version, it talks about religiosity that provides no peace. And it's easy for us to fall into religion rather than relationship. And it saps life. It's easier for us to fall into doing things because of external or internal pressures and expectations. I've been going through a process recently of talking to God about how I manage my relationship with him. And there's a sense I've had of trying to get somewhere with God that would not come into any other relationship that I have. But my relationship with God, it's like I feel like I'm supposed to get to some level with him somehow. So I don't treat it like other relationships. So I'm trying to do all sorts of things that keep God happy. And actually, that comes into other aspects of our church life and our relationship with God. We try and keep people happy as well. And actually, that is in all sorts of relationships. And it's that sense of having to try and keep doing all the stuff instead of having this relationship. And while I was working on this, God gave me a picture of lots of people building a ladder to heaven. And it was not like the picture that Jacob had with the ladder where the angels were just going up and down, going about their business easily. But these people were frantically building and what looked like quite tiny steps. And it was like a spiral staircase going round and round up into the sky. But it was just never reaching. It just seemed to get wider and wider and it didn't reach the top. And they just kept building and building. And I talked to God about that picture, and he was talking about some of the things that I do. And I read a phrase earlier this week which seemed to link to what he was saying, that said that busyness is artificial significance, which really challenged me about how much of my busyness is about me and my significance, and how much of it is coming out of this external or internal pressures to try and look good or get it right. And there's this sense that for some of us, we are worn out doing church and we've kind of forgotten the baby, especially at this time of year, that's really easy, isn't it? And so it's actually about the baby. And so I was reminded of the bit in Revelation 2 where Jesus is talking through John to the church at Ephesus. And he commends them for all they're doing, for how they've persevered, for how they've stood for what's right. But he's disappointed about how they've failed to keep him in his number one spot. And he talks about them having lost their first love. Jesus says in this passage in Matthew 11, come to me, not to anyone or anything else, not to activity, not to trying harder, not to putting on a brave face. Some of us, we talk about just press into God, not to fridge magnet or Pinterest Christianity. We have all those little phrases, don't we, that we bandy around on social media that are kind of like fridge magnets. And actually, sometimes they're really not that helpful. He says, come to me, not to all our religious activity that are often good things in and of themselves. I can find myself in my quiet time with a list of potential things that I could do to connect with God. And in and of themselves, sometimes they become meaningless. They become, like Timothy talks about, that in the letter to Timothy, it talks about a form of godliness, but with no power to connect me to Jesus. So we need to just come to him. We come to a person who will lead us to the Father, who knows our needs, who cares for us. We're coming to the truth, to the resurrection and the life. And he says he will give us rest. So I started to contemplate what that rest would look like. Rest is ease. And he says in this passage in Matthew that his yoke is easy. We are yoked to him, and there's an ease in that walk. We are joined to him. He shoulders his share of the weight. It's not a heavy thing. There's an ease in it. Rest is pause. Pause in his presence and just take a moment. Rest is inactivity. And some of us just need some inactivity in our lives. Rest is silence. Rest is motionless. Some of us need to just get off the merry-go-round and sit in silence with Jesus. Rest is calm. It is cease from labor, from toil, from striving. But rest is also to lean. We talk about resting against something, our weight supported by someone or something. And Jesus wants us to lean our weight on him. And in that word that the Father gave me, he said, lean your head on my shoulder. To rest is to remain in a particular state, a particular place. And we are to rest in him. We are to stay in him, to abide. But one of the ones that really struck me was rest is to repose. And as I looked at that word, God did one of those play on word things with me. And he said it was about to repose, to reposition. And as you rest, as we sit with him, as we allow him to do those things that he wanted to do, he repositions us. He brings us back into alignment with how we should be. So tonight we need to just come and he will do the rest. He will wash our feet. Stooping down to wash our feet. He will refresh us. He will restore our souls and realign us. In Isaiah 40, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. So I just thought we'd pray for a moment. The Holy Spirit, I don't know who any of this applies to, but you do. You know whose hearts are weary. You know those who feel heavy laden, who feel like they're pushing through the fog at the moment. But Father, we come to you through our door of hope, Jesus. We come wearied by the stuff of life. We come to you, our source of life. And we open our hearts to you this evening for you to do what is necessary to strengthen us. Where we have got battered and bruised in recent times, would you come and minister your life, your hope, your goodness, your mercy to our hearts, to our spirits? Would you wash away the dirt and the grime of life? Would you refresh and restore our souls? And Father, we come aware of how we have sometimes lost you in the busyness of life. We're sorry, Lord, for the things we've made it when it's all about you. Forgive us for our striving, for our busyness, our doing of church, for where we've accidentally fallen into religiosity, for where good practices, where discipline has become lifeless or meaningless, for where our activity has squeezed you out. Realign our hearts, God, with you. Where anything is out of place, Lord, would you reposition us? We want to abide in you. We want to fix our gaze on you. We want to keep you in our sights, to never waver. And what we focus on, we empower. It says in Colossians 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And sometimes we spend so much time thinking about the things of earth, the things of life, the things that go round and round and round in our minds, that they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And an evening like this evening is an opportunity to refocus our gaze. So as we come back to worship in a moment, let's worship Jesus. Let's empower him and his work in our lives. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. It is all about him and his work. It's not our activity. He started it and he will finish it. So let's put down our striving and all our activity that we think will somehow help, somehow make him more pleased with us, somehow make us get somewhere. Let's worship our good shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures, who leads us by quiet waters and refreshes our souls, refreshes our minds, our thinking, refreshes our emotions and our will, our desires. Let's worship the way for where we've lost our way. Let's worship the truth for those of us who've been battered by the enemy's lies. And let's worship the life, the resurrection, for those of us who need a transfusion of his life, an infusion of power, for those of us where it feels lifeless and empty, tired and weary. Let's worship our Prince of Peace for those who feel like they're in times of turbulence. We could go on. The list of who he is endless. Let's worship him and set him back on the throne in our lives. And as we worship, we exalt him to his rightful place. We magnify him and his love and his power in our lives and the world around us. And as we worship, our fears, our worries, our cares all diminish. Let's give our full attention to our God because he's worth it. Let's set our affections on him. And I wanted to finish with this little bit from Psalm 27, which says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life in his presence, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling, and he will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." Let's worship our King.